Tech is a bi-weekly podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Welcome back to Wells Tech, everybody. This is episode 754, recorded on July 10th. That's a Thursday in 2025. My name is Martin Spriggs. And you have stumbled upon, maybe intentionally so, a show about technology and ministry and where those two intersect. We've been doing this for quite some time. And we release an episode every couple weeks. And joining me every couple weeks is Sally Draper. Hello, Sally.
Hi, Martin. Happy to be joining you today. It's a bit cloudy, but we're enjoying summertime here in southern Minnesota and looking forward to a little bit of time off over the coming weeks to enjoy it a bit more.
I'll be in southern Minnesota in not too many weeks.
Lucky you.
Yeah. Synod convention. The Wells has a convention every 2 years, biennial convention. And we rotate among three locations, three of our worker training schools. So Martin Luther College in New Ulm is one of those, and it's up this year for us to visit. We also visit Luther Prep in Watertown, Wisconsin, and Michigan Lutheran Seminary in Saginaw, Wisconsin. But it's nice going to New Ulm, even when it's hot. I enjoy the countryside out there, and we're taking a little vacation on our way out there. So taking the camper, we're camping in Flandreau
State Park.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In New Ulm. They're just down the street from the campus there. So looking forward to some time there.
Lucky you.
Yeah. Speaking of summer, on our little show here, our little corner of the world, we spend summer usually tackling some lighter topics. We don't go all in on all the topics that we normally have in a regular show. This summer, we decided to kind of cherry pick some, what would you call them? Just topics of interest that are bite-sized that you can implement, that talk about different ministry topics. Could be promotional. We've talked about how to write great church announcements. Today, we are going to talk about taking impactful photos. So we ran across an article called 10 Tips for Capturing Impactful Photos of Church Activities. And a picture is worth a thousand words, and it's important to take advantage of that. And I know that a lot of the medium that our churches and schools use these days is electronic, so getting photos in there is actually pretty easy. But taking good photos, always not as easy. So I think the article that we came across talks about some good things to remember.
Yeah, definitely, Martin. You said a picture was worth a thousand words, and I feel like it might even be more valuable these days because it's probably our number one communication modality nowadays. Not that people don't know how to read, but they prefer not to.
Right.
And so that picture and the impact it can have can't really be understated. And so having good photography and, you know, wonderful if you have gifted members who just do this intuitively or naturally or whatever and want to use those gifts for the church, that is great. But sometimes they aren't holding the fanciest cameras or whatever. You might be doing it with your phone photography or whatever works to capture the photos. I think spending some time and considering what exactly you're trying to capture, why you're trying to capture it, those kind of questions can help lead to better photography and things, you know, sources to use when you're doing this communication.
Yeah, that's a great segue into tip number one, which is know the purpose behind the photo. So go in with a purpose. So they talk about, photos of worship and church activities are not just snapshots. They actually tell a story. Stories of faith, community, outreach events, volunteer activities. It is, I think, key to kind of have a plan going in. What story are you trying to tell? And that might suggest what pictures you're trying to capture. So know the purpose behind the photo. I think that's a great number one tip.
Mm-hmm. Another that they mention is to focus on special moments. You know, mm-hmm. I kind of think of summertime and remember great vacation Bible schools. Maybe your church is doing that. Maybe they're doing a soccer camp. Maybe they're not doing either, but you're having events in the park periodically or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Those fun moments, those opportunities to catch intergenerational pictures, just having some life to the photos, some interactivity and emotions per se, happiness shared in the mm-hmm. photos. That's really meaningful. I can remember at the end of vacation Bible school, we'd always throw up a video slideshow where we just took the photos and put them in a slideshow, and everybody would just stop and watch and remember, happy events and fun times and stuff as they watch that. So that's pretty cool and impactful what your photos can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this isn't one of the tips. This is kind of my own tip. When you are trying to gather photos, clearly the more perspectives and the more people taking photos, the better your chance of getting something that has that, purpose and emotion and capturing the just the right moments. So don't just assume that just because one person kind of normally takes the pictures that others aren't welcome. So set up a way to have people get those photos to the church office or the school office. Sometimes that can be an email. Sometimes it's even like a hashtag. So if you're posting things on Instagram and you've created or Facebook or whatever, and you're creating a hashtag that is specific to your organization, that's not a bad idea either, so that you can do a quick search for that and see what's out there on social media as well. So ways to get those photos not a bad idea.
Yeah, I would add to that list a shared Google photo album is a
Could
really great way to gather mm-hmm. photos. So, share it with different people and they have the ability to contribute to the album. And then you get a mashup in one place and everyone can see all the photos as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep. What's the next tip, Sally?
Well, there's a couple of interesting ones. One that I really like is to use natural light as much as possible. Mm-hmm. I find myself thinking about this as I'm trying to compose photos and needing to turn things just right to capture it with the light that's available and stuff. But when you turn on that flash, it just really drowns out, the naturalness of the photo, I think. And so sometimes in churches that can be challenging depending on
how things are
architected basically. So, mm-hmm. Trying to get near a window or whatever,
go
where you
outside
get
or
times of day when mm-hmm. the lighting is better or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Light is, job one for a photographer. Professional photographers know about the light and kind of see what it might do to the picture itself. So think about light first. Mm-hmm. Another tip they give is blend in, don't distract from worship. So don't be that person, that's kind of standing up in the middle and you've got to kind of crank your neck around and just, be discreet. And that calls sometimes for a little planning ahead, right? Mm-hmm. Understand where the best angles might be, but, seating those people who are taking those photos correctly is a good trick sometimes too. So need to be a part of it as well as capturing it.
Mm-hmm. One that I think is a really great tip is to capture variety so that you're not just focused on, you know, a really wide shot all the time, but you zoom in and get some close-up shots. And, you know, they don't always have to be completely even fully composed in the image area. You can have things zoomed to such a way that you're just getting, you know, people's faces or whatever it may be. Having that variety gives you more options as you're trying to decide how to use the photography. And, you know, one thing to keep in mind, most cameras today, even on your phone, take really good broad shots that you can crop down to specific areas, but just be mindful of that.
Yep. And we would be remiss if we did not remind everybody that, and we do this fairly regularly, get permission, respect privacy, especially when dealing with kids. You know, there are certain rules that you need to follow, especially if you're publishing something online and, you know, publishing names or not publishing names. Be careful, obviously, with that and respect people's comfort level. You know, some people just, even though they're in a public place, you want to be, you know, kind and respectful of people's, you know, desire to maybe not be front and center on the church's homepage. So it's a balancing act. So just be sensitive to that.
Yeah, good point, Martin. It seems like in the past we've even shared like photo release type verbiage and stuff. I'll see if I can find links to some of those past episodes where we've talked about that.
Yeah. So, yeah, lots of good tips there. I think that you'd find plenty of content out there on the internet talking about how to do this and, you know, not so much necessarily on how to work your phone or your camera. A lot of people have published stuff around that too. But I think in general, being part of a photo generation, we need to take advantage of that and use those photos for high impact, because I think that's there are so many studies, you know, in social media and elsewhere where a picture drives up the viewership by some X factor. It's crazy how much difference a photo can make and how much impact a good one can make. So I think it's worth spending time thinking about.
Very true. So I'm enjoying these tips. It's nice to kind of stretch those muscles every once in a while. And I think photography is an area that we can all benefit with well thought out images. So good thoughts there.
Yeah. If you've got thoughts or tips, things that you found to be successful or things that you want to avoid, let us know your experiences too with taking photos, publishing photos, using photos in your messaging. Go to our show notes page, wellstech.wells.net, and let us know your thoughts. Leave a comment there, send us an email, wellstech@wells.net, or visit our social networks and let us know. Maybe even show us some examples. Love that.
That would be great.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on, Sally. Picks of the week.
Yeah, we can't get by without some great picks every week.
We love this segment.
For sure.
Sometimes we have to dig deep and find something we'd want to share or do a rerun.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah. And this one probably is a rerun. I think I've talked in the past about the Nelm Project, something that we found several years ago, and I've been following ever since, because icons are huge in that communication space that we were just discussing, with image being kind of king these days. You know, and it's quite possible in your church ministry, you're looking for that perfect llama icon or whatever it may be.
Yeah, I was just looking for one the other day.
I thought so. And so I'm waiting for like a llama themed VBS, but whatever. Anyway, this is the place to come, the Nelm Project, because they have imagery representing all different types of nouns, and it's pretty vast. They also, in the not too distant past, have added photos to their website as well, so you can use this as a photo seeking spot as well. But just focusing on the icons, seriously, you may be hosting a LWMS rally on an African country like Tanzania is how I understand it. It's pronounced.
Oh, is that right? I always say Tanzania, but I could be very wrong.
No,
Tanzania. Okay.
We had our district president, Pastor Klatt, come and talk about his time in Tanzania. And it is actually pronounced that way by the natives or whatever. And so you might want, you know, imagery of the country or their map or those kind of things. And so you definitely can come out here and find it. I actually used this particular, you know, map image to cut out things with my silhouette. So people that have Cricut and Silhouette can bring in these types of imagery, and they do offer SVG or Ping. You don't have to have a paid account to get them, but you do have to use attribution if you use them without a paid account. If you have a paid account, you can use them however you'd like. But basically, you can download SVG or Ping formats, and with a paid account, you can change coloring and a few other things about it. But it's pretty straightforward to use and never disappoints in the kind of things that are available there. So this may be the answer for some little piece that you're looking to make your graphics just perfect. So check out the Noun Project specifically for icons, but I haven't explored deeply the photos that are available, but that might be the place to go for photos of Tanzanian wildlife as well. So
yeah. What is the pricing while we're on the page here?
You know, that's a good question. There's a button up here that tells us that. It's basically $9.99 a month, but paid
yearly. Right.
And so, or there's a $3.33 for, the $3.33 per month paid yearly gives you the icon access. And then the $9.99 includes the photos and icon sets. So,
nice.
Yeah, it's very affordable to get started, and you definitely can get access to it for free with attribution included. So, yeah, check it
nice
out.
Nice pick. It's worth the rerun there. It's been quite a while since we talked about the Noun Project, and I think they've upped their game too. Nice stuff.
Lots of good stuff.
All right. My pick is actually a magazine and a specific issue of a magazine from a nonprofit organization called Mission Frontiers. This tip was passed along to me by our administrator for World Missions, Larry Schlomer. He subscribes to this magazine, and the magazine typically focuses on mission-oriented themes. And the theme for this particular issue is entitled "The Impact of AI on Missions." And there's probably a half dozen or so, even more, articles specifically on AI and how it impacts mission work. Sometimes these are world missions, home missions, just mission work in general, mission administrators, people that are mission-minded. They've gathered some experts in the field. Some of them are academics, some of them are missionaries themselves, some of them are technology experts in AI. But I've read through most of the articles here, and I'm going to try and get through the rest of them here in the next couple of days. But just a great issue. It's free to read online. I think you have to subscribe and pay something to get the physical magazine. But you can sign up and get a free download or a PDF version of the articles. And I think anybody interested in seeing maybe where AI and mission work intersect, so to speak, this would be a number of articles that should get on your reading list. So again, The Impact of AI on Missions from the folks at Mission Frontiers. This particular publication is called, or I'm sorry, Frontier Ventures is the name of the group. Mission Frontiers is the name of the magazine. Nicely done. The articles are, you know, a page, page and a half, something like that. Just nice bite-sized ones. This is the July-August issue for 2025, so super timely. And they talk about some good, thoughtful things. One of the first articles that I read talked about not necessarily thinking that AI is all about you, but how does AI help you serve somebody else. A couple examples that they gave, or one example that they gave, is maybe run your messaging through an AI and ask it, how might this resonate or not resonate with a particular culture or kind of people or personality type? So use AI and its, you know, big database of knowledge about how people consume information, and have it assess what you're trying to communicate, because you may not always have a great handle on how what you are writing will come across to a different culture or a different people group. So I think that's a great example of, you know, how to turn AI around and make it your servant. And it's good stuff. So yeah, take a look at this this issue of this magazine. Very well done. And thanks to Larry for passing this along.
Yeah, I'm super impressed with the depth of topics, or maybe the breadth, I should say. It's, they've really thought about a lot of different angles around AI. This
nice
one
coverage.
In particular, targeted by tech, how criminals and governments can use AI and cyber attacks against Christian missionaries, you know, just covering all the bases.
Good. And maybe AI, this is a magazine you're interested in general, not just when it talks about AI, but talks about AI and Bible apps and, you know, all kinds of different angles. So, you know, well done.
For sure.
All right. Should we move along to our community feedback segment? And we had a number of conversations going on this week.
Yeah, great timing. Yeah, I'm heading over to the Wells Tech Google group. If you aren't part of the group, now's the time to join, because this is a great place to ask your questions and get answers. Recently, there were a couple that generated some different activity. One was from my friend Michael Vlieger, who teaches at our school and attends my congregation. He says he's looking to put together some basic cybersecurity training for fellow faculty members at the school. Need to brush up on things like phishing scams and password best practices and data protection. Not overly technical, just solid practical knowledge we can all use. And it generated a lot of responses, and people are out there doing this, which is very encouraging to see that it's being done. First off, the very first one that was listed was KnowB4. It's KnowBE. And the number 4, knowbe4.com. And it is a not a free service, but a paid for service. They do have some free tools on their site to assist you. But the paid service, I can speak with experience,
from
is quite
excellent. First hand experience. Yes, you can.
Yeah, this is what we use at the Synod. And it drills me just about every day on cybersecurity, keeping me up to date on all different kinds of threats that are out there. So we regularly get emails that say, here's a new scam that's happening, and here's how they do it, and here's what you should be aware of. And then also testing me by sending me a suspicious email so that I can choose to not pay attention.
Show it how much you've learned, yes.
And click the link and be really sorry that I did. Or I can tell it, nope, this is phishing. I don't want to open this email. So it's kind of two-pronged. Well, I should say, and there's a third leg to the stool, and that is that they have online training that regularly gets released and, you know, holds you accountable. You have to go out and complete the training. Sometimes there's a whole three-question quiz at the end, but it does help you to kind of solidify the things that they're teaching. You know, I don't know how long we've been doing KnowBE4, Martin, but quite some time.
Years now. Yeah.
It has definitely had an impact on me personally. I can tell the difference, and I think it's what we talk about all the time on Wells Tech, having a communication plan and being very consistent with it, because this is something you basically need to be drilled on constantly. For one reason is it's constantly changing. The bad guys are coming up with new stuff every day to trick you. And so just constantly staying up to date and being on guard. And if you ever do click the link and, you know, a test email, then there's support materials that will help you get sharper in that area so you don't do it again. So just having that experience, I would just highly recommend this program or others like it. And there were several others that were mentioned. A couple of free resources, this one from the Government National Initiative for Cybersecurity Careers and Studies, where they have cybersecurity for K through 12 teachers and all kinds of resources and posters you can use and print out and put in your classrooms and things like that to help educate students on cybersecurity. So looks like a great free resource. A couple of the other paid vendors that were mentioned, InfoSec is one, and then something called CyberNut. I like their name. Mm-hmm. And they specifically mentioned no before an InfoSec, but an affordable K through 12 friendly alternative to doing security awareness training for schools. So lots of options out there. I thought it was neat that our community kind of rallied behind this question and really came up with a lot of different things that people are making use of in this area.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Thanks for the question, Michael.
Yeah. And then our second question came from Wells Tech friend, Kristen Nickelbein. Kristen is technology director at St. Mark in Eau Claire, I believe. And she's looking for feedback from the group about how other congregations handle changes in called workers. When is it typical to revoke access to files and email that they owned while they were at work in your congregation if they take a call to a different location or retire or whatever the circumstances may be? And for the most part, I think there were a lot of responses to this one as well, but I think most people said July 1. That's mm-hmm. when their call ends with yours and the new call starts, if they're in the teaching ministry at least. And it seems like the day that the resources should end. That would be the typical behavior in most corporations, I believe. But obviously, you know, we can give them some time of grace if they didn't quite get everything they needed from their files. I think someone mentioned using Google Takeout,
which yeah. mm-hmm.
is a service that allows them to kind of grab their files and get it downloadable and so that they could put it in a new location or whatever. So different options there. Sometimes resources are transferred to the new teacher that's coming into that position or whatever. So you just have to kind of work through that. But most people kind of targeted that July 1 date as the turnover date when they cut off access for the person that's leaving the position.
Very nice. Our Google Groups area is one we should highlight even more than we do, because there's a lot of great questions and a lot of great people there willing to answer those questions. So there's rarely a question that goes out there that doesn't get at least one response. So mm-hmm. I would say take advantage of that. We have a little link at the top of our show notes page that gets you to that group. It is, you have to request access, but we're fairly liberal with who gets in. So don't worry about that. And again, the group is very welcoming, and I think provides some great and sometimes very complete answers. You know, they've taken some time to craft responses to your, you know, sometimes very vague questions. So it's a nice group to be a part of.
Yeah, for those of you watching, I'm sharing the Wells Tech homepage, wellstech.wells.net. Martin mentioned it earlier, and there's a little group icon, kind of like one you might find at the Noun Project, that represents our Google group. So if you click there, it'll take you. Obviously, it uses your Google account. It's a Google product, but you can request access through your email, basically.
Nice. All right. Well, Sally, I think we've done our job this week. 7:54 is, I think, a wrap. And we're going to look forward to the next time we gather together. It'll be after Synod Convention now, where we talk about, well, it'll be close. We'll kind of do the magic of pre-recording. nobody will be the wiser. Where we record 7:55. But another tip will be on the way. So looking forward
to it. Nobody will be the wiser, especially if you don't tell them.
Right, exactly. But we're pretty transparent here.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We really appreciate your listening ears. And bring a friend next time. We would love to increase the Wells Tech family size. Take care. Bye-bye.